Boy, we got Reddit exposure. Reddit and
Slack. And then, let's see, 241 direct in the last week, 161 from Twitter, 62 from the Escapist magazine.
Actually, a good set of examples where you feel game journalists have acted rude or unprofessional, but that's exactly what you did. It was in the first 3 inches of the goddamn article, you asshole. Anyway, sorry.
I guess in this thread on the Escapist forum, somebody else will link to your article, and we got 62 hits from that.
Oh, yeah, this is my alt account, so I made this actual thing.
Oh, okay. Wasn't sure.
Basically, I try it with my attribute account, and if that doesn't work, I try my alt account.
Right. We had 37 from 4chan.
Great.
Actually, those are all links to the Mass Effect 3 controversial ending article. Another 22 from NeoGAF.
Reddit is so fucked up, as a place.
Reddit is retarded.
Reddit is it's the concentrated, slimy bowels of the internet. It's just,
every thread on NeoGAF where you disagreed with the OP, you just say, close this thread. That is Reddit.
Yeah. We had 10 from fanboy.com. Who linked to your article. We had 9 from Rock Paper Shotgun forum thread. Hmm. 9 from Blaze. And yeah, it's pretty much just,
I like how we're getting sprinkled in to all these different places. This is the Tim
that's commenting.
What was that?
This is the Tim that was commenting on the actual article.
Right. Oh, okay, yeah.
I'll email him back at some point. Let me go ahead and book this.
Yeah. Let's see. Popular content last week. I caught your article just at 1337.
Yeah!
Leap.
Yeah, in 1 month, we've literally doubled our Beardcast numbers.
It's crazy.
Which is pretty crazy, yeah.
You're now going to have to start paying $6 in Amazon fees.
Pretty much, yeah. It went from here's $1, and I think last month it was $4.50 or something.
Yeah.
Which I'm totally...
Yeah, no, this has definitely been...
Totally fine with...
Let's see, traffic overview by
month. You know what I find really funny about that whole consumerist thing? Is that people got really uptight about it without ever thinking about how many gamers are too young to really have any bank dealings or any thoughts about mortgage at all. A huge chunk of gamers who are online are just way too young to give a shit about that.
Yeah.
It's not that Bank of America is necessarily a better company because they came in second. It's just... the wrong audience.
I just wonder what this says about the Occupy movement.
Nothing.
It says that
the Occupy movement is worse at getting people to vote on a consumerist poll.
Yeah.
Than random assholes on the internet who are mad at video games.
I think the bigger deal with this is that it shows how important brand management is.
Yeah.
Because if you can get people that angry at you, then clearly you're not doing something right.
Right, correct.
And they just go into the bunker mentality where they just say, everybody else says we're fine. Everything's great. That response was
so dickish. If I had more time, if I wanted to change the focus of that article, that's what I would have written about. But that response is basically, I guess we're not really as bad as BP, whatever. If you were voted the worst company in America, no matter what, either don't respond or say, we're going to try to do better.
Yeah, we're
going to. I don't care if you're going to actually do better.
Right.
But your response should not be, whatever, we'll just do what we want.
Not only that, if you're not the PR person at your company, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't respond to this stuff.
Yeah, you actually have people paid and trained to handle this sort of thing. You probably shouldn't be taking any part in it whatsoever.
So are the great Elder Scrolls breaking story of May is almost gone. That huge spike, that huge 30,000 spike is almost off the monthly chart.
Is the last number what our monthly total for that?
No, for May. The last number is robots. It's just that I had to copy that all together.
Damn.
Yeah.
Wait, what? What am I looking at exactly?
I was hoping that would be unique IPs because that gets us into E3.
No, that's the middle number, unique. In March it was 5,116, which is the best month we've had since September. I don't remember what happened in September.
The hell did we do in March?
The Sonic stream.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That's right.
And then
weekly stick. Look at that.
What was that?
Be nice if we had the weeklies.
Let's see. Weekly
just for March, basically. See exactly where a spike is at.
Because I noticed looking at the Amazon's our numbers that Jumpcast really leaped up in March and then kind of leveled off after that.
Yeah.
Because we picked up maybe like 100 extra people, which is great.
Yeah.
But it's nowhere near like the 900 it was that week.
Yeah. And then, I mean, we're 9 days into April and we're already sitting at just under 2,000 unique, which is pretty good.
Oh, yeah.
I think, the key here is going to be consistent content. Like, I really like that non-news thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, consistent content is key.
Let's see if I can keep that up. Yeah. Although, it's actually pretty easy. You just hit up the rumor sections, and they're full of complete garbage.
Right.
I really like your analogy for the rumors about just replace it with what my neighbor said.
Oh, right, yeah. If someone's going to come at you with unconfirmed sources say this, it's like, so?
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah, exactly.
I really love IGN had a rumor for PS3 that it's basically on par with the current generation, and people are not taking that very well.
Yeah. But I love that they'll be ready to discount that rumor, but I believe all the other ones that said it's going to be an AMD processor.
Right.
Yeah. I also believe the rumors that it would be that the Nintendo Wii U would be this current generation's hardware level.
Yeah.
They believe that.
I do love I love the IGN launch date one, the one you linked, Imran.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up commenting on that one in the article. They said, oh, look at this email. It's some new proof. It's like, no, it's not. The guy cites where he read the rumor and says we should respond to this rumor. It's not an assistant manager at GameStop saying, I heard from my bosses. He's like linking to the news site where he read it.
The most amazing thing I've ever seen was, I think it was this week. It might have been last week. I can't remember what the rumor was about, but it was like, rumor, colon, something, something, confirmed.
Right.
All right, let's see. I'm trying to remember what the spike in September was from.
I don't remember what happened last September.
It can't be my beards video, no. This is how I GURP. Might have been the Minecraft Let's Play, but I don't think we got much from that.
Speaking of like insane gaffe topics, there was the one where just console guys were just rejecting outright the idea of putting like graphic options in their games.
Yeah.
Because
like, would you put graphic options for better performance? They're like, no, it should work. It's consoles. I don't care if it's 10 FPS.
Yeah.
It's there.
So the developers should optimize more, as if, you know,
but there's they don't.
This magical optimization thing that they could
they could be doing. The button they hit. All right, now I'm gonna I'm gonna tighten up the graphics on level 3.
All right, now it's optimized.
Yeah.
Oh, if you just optimize more, the game would be better.
I'm looking at the operating system analysis for the last month. Let's see, we've got 276 from PlayStation 3s, which kind of amazes me.
Hmm.
We've got 32 from PSP. 14 from the Wii, 9 from Windows ME, 3 from Windows 3.1,
wow.
3 from the DS, and 2 from SunOS.
SunOS?
Solaris.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't know anybody who's runs. I haven't run Solaris as a desktop OS since 2002.
Yeah.
And even that was because I bought a SunSpark 20 for $5.
Awesome.
You ever see a SunSpark?
I don't think I have.
Just look up.
Those are the things in Transformers Beast Wars, right?
No.
Sorry.
Let me see if I can find an image of one.
We gotta search it for Nintendo's cats Gorgi. Not Corgi, Gorgi.
I think we're starting to get a big increase in numbers because it seems like there's an actual audience for opinionated editorial because no one does that anymore.
Oh, absolutely.
I guess,
yeah.
It just you know, I'll be frank. The reason I've been updating a lot is like if I can't, I need feedback. I mean, yeah. I'm getting shit. It's just
right. Yeah. No.
That's why three of the comments on Imran's article are from me. I was trying to get more people to comment.
Yeah.
And like the comment I do is from fucking Sparkster. It's like
I should check Sparkster's blog. I haven't seen that in a while.
And right, Wes, I didn't forget about your little like the plus one thing. I'm trying to find something that will work.
Yeah, and
I don't even know what to search for. Like the Ostmer has a nice one with like start. Yeah. I just.
Yeah.
Anytime I search for what I think I'm searching for, like to see if there's just a quick script widget that I can input there.
Right.
It just comes up with Facebook stuff and Google Plus stuff.
Yeah, and that's fine. It's
just dependent on that person having an account. So I'd like it to be something independent, like the Awesome.
Right. And also what I was thinking is we'll make sure we get a very, very, very lightweight one, because the only thing that I could see happening that could turn into a headache really quick is if it refreshed every page. Like every time you click the like button, it would change the query on the page, because that's one of those things to where it could be like one of those like Office Space style moments to where we put up the thumbs up thing and then we get five thumbs up and then added 4 gigs of data, like data transfer.
What are you guys trying to do exactly? What are you trying to do exactly?
Well, basically, okay, exactly what you said. You don't have any feedback. The kind of idea that Brian and I had was, okay, like with Facebook, there's a like button. So you don't have to comment on their whatever they said, but hey, I read it. Right. I acknowledge it.
Just
hit a button.
Right.
Hit a button. So, bam. That's my time.
Go to the link I just posted, the Awesomer, Mark.
Oh, okay.
Well, Facebook and Google Plus, they have to pull in scripts for those.
That's what I mean.
Right.
You have to.
That's what I mean.
Usually have to get a developer API to do that. There's no way around it.
Okay.
But the rest of them, stumble upon Pinterest, the basic Facebook one, not like, but the one that just posted to your wall, and Twitter, those are just URLs.
Yeah.
You just have to write the script to craft the URL.
Right. I'd like something that doesn't require a person to have an account for something. Because I know, I don't know, a lot of people are hesitant. Like, yeah, you know, I post diff on Facebook, but I don't like post all of my geeky gaming stuff on Facebook.
Yeah.
If we turned off the CAPTCHA thing for like a week? You think
we get a ton of bots?
Yeah.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Hold on. I'll be right back. I got to go tuck the missus in.
Okay. But yeah, basically, the only thing because I agree. I think it would be a nice boost for all of us if we had direct feedback, not necessarily a comment, because if a comment is a little bit out of people's reach, which I can understand. You know, I read stuff all the
it's
time.
It's a commitment.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And it's a time commitment. And like, while we appreciate it and it really shows that people are reading, we need a quicker way to show that
things have been, I would just like, you know, assurance that I'm not just like screaming out into the ether, you know?
Yeah, just exactly. Something. I mean, the numbers are.
People are definitely running. They're definitely reading the stuff. Yeah. It's just we don't have any confirmation of it.
I'm concerned that like 90% of it is plat. That's my fear. That's my great fear.
That's true. And I guarantee you right now it is probably 80% yeah. now. But the goal is, I would rather have plat as kind of the quote unquote foundation, because okay, we know we're gonna have at least 60 readers a month.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
But plat's.
Well, but here's the thing. But we're not.
Plat's not gonna stay around forever.
Well, I know, but those readers will. And because we have nothing to do with plat, and that's the way we've always wanted to keep it, is right. we didn't change plat to the Nitro Beard forums. We're not posting links to plat all the time. We mentioned them on the podcast, but
Crunch has tried to sell to us several times.
Yes, oh, really? Yeah, he's emailed myself and Brian multiple times and say, hey, here's this. If you guys want to get this, it makes this amount of money per month. Like, yeah, it's been an ongoing thing for a few years now. And we just keep saying no because we don't really need a forum. I don't really think we need a forum. Because if we think a comment is something.
The moment we do take up Platt, then we take up Platt's image, and I don't think that's really helpful for us or Platt.
Right. And
you know, I think the regulars there would resent us for doing it, and we don't really gain anything out of it.
All right, I'm back.
I think if Platt dies or something, then maybe it might be a good idea.
Yeah.
If for whatever reason, like, let's say Crunch just decides not to pay anymore, or Crunch himself just disappears from the internet.
What a mess. Oh, we were just talking about, like, the different ways to build community. And we were talking about how Crunch has approached you and I multiple times to sell us the plat boards. And we're like, no.
Basically just moving away – not moving away from plat, but moving out of
plat. Well, yeah, because Mark made a good point that, you know, for a while there, 95% of our readership was plat. And then I was like, but now that's lowering. I mean, we got linked on Reddit. Total Biscuit commented on some stuff. Jeff Green on Twitter. You know, Kotaku.
I would like to see regular stuff. It's like 1 week when we get like Jeff Green or whatever, that's great. I'd like consistency.
Sure. And I mean, that's the goal for everybody. I mean, we're not the only people struggling with that. Hell, like IGN struggles with that. You know what I mean? Like they.
Yeah, IGN's huge. We're just like five guys. We have better things to do.
It's really tough since we're all full time employed elsewhere, and then on top of that, it's not like we get any access to the press or the PR.
I would love to bring on more writers, but it's very hard to make that case to people. We want a consistent schedule, but we can't give you anything.
Yeah, but the only thing you're being given is a readership, and. I mean, the ultimate goal, and this, I think, has been Brian and I's ultimate goal for a while, we're going to stick to our guns, we're going to keep doing...
Don't put words in my mouth.
Well, what we're doing here...
I'm kidding.
The goal for everyone is, hell yeah, we would love to find a way that, if it's a non-intrusive way, for us to get compensated for what we do. I think that's only fair, because the amount of time invested, you know, it has to be paid back somehow. But it's like, okay...
I think he's also said that Shia LaBeouf is a very handsome man. I believe he said that before.
Yeah, I remember that vividly. But
we've got the market on Joseph Gordon-Levitt socks.
Yeah. but you know what I mean? It's the whole thing about we're doing it the right way. And I think, honest to God, and it sounds crazy, but 3 or 4 years from now, people will be asking us to go on their podcast. Hey, tell us about Nitro Beard. Well... How did Nitro Beard start? And it's like, you're not going to believe us when we tell you that we had to tooth and nail and claw for everything we got. Like, we had no handouts. We didn't take any handouts. We didn't do any advertisement. And we built it from the bottom, which is the hardest way. It's like a comedian going through the club circuit first. Like, it's impossible. That is the hardest path that you can walk. But I think if we get successful that way, sky's the limit.
Well, Skulls has offered to me, because she's in grad school for industrial organizational psychology, and basically that's making employees happy and making sure that they are productive. She has offered to me to help Nitro Beard try to figure out a way to become profitable.
Yeah, and that's my deal, is I don't mind paying for the podcast. I really don't. I know, you know, Brian doesn't mind paying for hosting.
No, I just saved $43 this year by just dropping like $176 for the year subscription to Squarespace.
Right, but and I think all of our goals at first will be, what if that $176 was paid for you? You know what I'm saying? Like, what if
I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, exactly. What if we broke even?
It seems like a rather modest fundraising goal.
But what if even better that was paid to me? See where I'm going with that?
Think of all the Cheetos it would buy. Yeah.
Imagine all the Cheetos.
But yeah, that's the ultimate goal. And just the same way that I think an awesome goal would be, okay, what if we did make enough money 1 year, not only to pay for hosting, but all of us could afford a two-night stay and go to PAX? Yeah. You know, how kick-ass would that be? And it's not because, oh, we need to go there and review some games and put our name on a box art thing. It's, you know, we're going to go there, we're going to hang out, we're going to talk with some fans, and we're going to record a funny podcast. That's it. Yeah. That's the
PAX East probably isn't impossible.
Right. And
I'm highly considering. I mean, I've been considering going the last couple of years. It just hasn't panned out.
Exactly.
I think this coming year might be the year. I don't know.
Yeah. It's,
I mean, like, it's not impossible for us to get investors, really.
Right.
It may be like a kind of far off thing, but I think if we could make a case for becoming profitable or that we have a lot of goodwill,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
then I think angel investors are not an impossible goal.
I hate it that I'm going to say this, but I think a Kickstarter wouldn't be a terrible thing because we could actually do some concrete ideas of, we need a couple $1,000 for airfare and hotel to go to cons.
And it would also give us kind of a baseline to take a look at what our market, our audience is.
Yeah, this is what we need for hosting. This is what, you know, we're not looking for salaries out of this. We're looking to cover expenses.
Right. We're looking for the opportunity to go to do more things.
Yeah. Right. I think what might be important is if we figure out what we do better than anyone else.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's why I brought up the opinionated editorial, is literally no one's doing that. We have a lot of rumors. We have a lot of gossip. We have places like Joystick and Kotaku that just put out, here's a 4-second quip, get people talking about this. And they do that really well. There's no way in hell we're going to do it that well. And then with Rock, Paper, Shotgun, I think we're closer to Rock, Paper, Shotgun than we are to any other site on the internet.
That's sort of been my model. And I mean, you can even tell just by looking at the sites.
Yeah, like the sites. That's true.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that. Because I love Rock, Paper, Shotgun. And they get – look, that's kind of a perfect business. The more I think about it, like if you go to Rock, Paper, Shotgun, you'll see that they have their advertisements on the back of the page. They're not intrusive to the articles. They still do opinion pieces. They get some of their
community. It's a lot of opinion pieces. I mean, they have very distinct, kind of personalities with the writers and kind of very, I want to say, friendly content, like what I think and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we do, I think, have a lot of parallels to Rock, Paper, Shotgun.
And it's a good model because, hell, Quentin Smith, what's he doing nowadays? Like, he helped create, you know, Rock, Paper, Shotgun from the ground up, and now he's like editor-in-chief at PC Mag. Or something, like, he got a crazy salary deal.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's a main editor. He's almost becoming one of the executives over at one of the media outlets, like Future Media or something.
Right. He's now, what is he doing? He's a video games consultant.
Yeah. And, I mean, he's, you know, he's still doing his own thing, but he's getting, that's his life now. That's his livelihood. That's how he makes money. And
possibly even like adventures like Quarter to Three.
Yeah, and see, Quarter to Three is really it's a good call too, because even on Quarter to Three's forums, there are a ton of industry insiders. I know Warren Spector has a forum account there. I know Jeff Green does. Sean Elliott does. That's where a lot of the guys inside the industry go to hang out. They used to do it at Ars Technica in Gamma Sutra, but now they kind of moved away from there because that is more like stockbroker stuff. It's more about, should we invest in IBM? And they're like, I guess, I don't know. But but yeah, like,
what is Gamers with Jobs doing?
Gamers with Jobs.
They have a Skype podcast, and beyond that, I don't know what they do.
Right, exactly.
So basically us.
Yeah.
They may be the closest.
We are the
closest. But they're like the older version of us.
Correct.
I think mainly we're going to, like, Wes and I have talked about this before. We need to push on the personalities of us before, because that's what makes Giant Bomb successful.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Right. Which would be great if we could do video content together. I mean,
we talked about the Trine thing for the last couple of weeks.
Yes, yeah, let's start that soon.
And I want to do, like, I didn't realize how much of a big deal this would be until I noticed the Life Well Wasted is basically dead. But if I just kind of wanted well wasted, Robert Ashley's podcast.
I remember that. Yeah, they happened for like 5 episodes and then died. Yeah. That's so sad.
But it's a good idea, and I want to steal it.
Yeah, like NPR of gaming. It's pretty cool.
Right, I basically want to do that. And if we do that, we're going to be the only ones. Because every other podcast, including our own, are discussion.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right. And there's nothing else is basically a news magazine.
Yeah. Well, I think there's also, if we can get some more people and maybe kind of quote-unquote bigger people for the Sideburned, and I don't know, maybe that name should change. I don't know.
I actually like it. I think it's because you could also it's sidetracked. Like, you're sidetracked from the Beardcast. Like, it's...
Well, but not only that, I like that, I don't know, I guess I kind of have this philosophy as far as these little interview go that, yeah, sure, you know, we can talk about their projects and what they're working on, but I also want to find out all this random shit about that person as well.
Yeah.
Which I don't know, man. I guess I haven't really seen a lot of other places that do interviews do that. They kind of just
do Nerdist.
Yeah, the Nerdist is great.
Yeah, they basically do that. They have
cool
about 2 or 3 podcasts interviewing just celebrities and people like that.
I think maybe I'm pushing it here, but we might be within reach already of kind of asking, you know, Jeff Green to come on. I mean, because part of it is me not knowing if he gets a shit ton of requests.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been thinking about asking him for so long, but the problem is
me too.
He's an employee of EA and he works at PopCap. I don't know if he can really speak freely, or he has to ask PR if he can come on.
That's the exact same thing I asked myself, and then I look at his Twitter account when he's saying, like, I'm so fucking proud of my daughter, and, you know, so it is a weird balance that I've been tossing around,
I think we can actually keep, like, Sideburned and whatever I'm naming this new project, I haven't thought of a name yet, separate, because
absolutely.
It's like how NPR keeps Fresh Air and This American Life separate.
Yeah.
Because This American Life is literally just talking to people and trying to get their stories.
Yeah.
And I figured if we can reach out to the gaming community, and, like, people have stories like that. Like, the example I gave is when I was going through a big breakup, I played Tales of Vesperia to completion.
Yeah.
And I could, like, people can tell those stories like that. Just no one wants to really talk about how a video game changed their life.
Right. Well, this actually kind of reminds me of, and probably a good comparison would be Letters of Note, which has done kind of well. I mean, of course, these are from famous people, but there's these little kind of anecdotes that surround these people that you wouldn't necessarily think of when you think of that person. Not that it has to be, you know, like a famous person, of course, but it's just these very intimate, kind of close stories.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know.
And I think if we build upon the multimedia side of it, because this is the great thing about radio, right? Is it's easy to edit. The turnaround is what, an hour? Like,
basically by editing to Amazon upload down to like 45 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's, you know, you have timestamps, all this other stuff. Video, it's a little bit of a different deal, but if we kept video more the documentary style, like a handheld cam, you know what I mean? Like, if that was a future endeavor, that's easy to edit. You know, because
right, that's what I was going to say. Right. I was going to say, because I ordered myself a new camera. Amazon has botched my order. I still don't have it. And I have to wait until Wednesday until they'll even do anything
about
it.
Is it from Lasership?
No, it's not from Lasership.
Lasership!
No. But so, I mean, doing like some video kind of would be great, but it'd be boring if it's just me.
Yeah, that's the problem. If we had like an office or something, which obviously we don't do. I'm not suggesting we do.
Yeah.
But that would have made so many things easier. We could do skits a day. We could do quick looks really easily.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, if it's just me, it's boring. But if it's us playing off our personalities and whatnot, then it becomes a thing.
What we could
even
two best friends play.
We're limited by the fact that we are in different corners of the country.
Right. Yeah. I think what we could do.
But we're making the most of it.
Yeah. What we could do, and I mean, this is something we can look into, is, you know, ever since putting up the Sonic the Hedgehog stuff, we've gotten decent hits on YouTube videos. And YouTube is a market just the same way that Facebook was a market. Mark was exactly right in saying, let's get more of a presence on Facebook because we can reach people that wouldn't normally read what we have to say. And that's been working pretty well. You know, the number of hits and the number of, I guess, views or whatever it's called, like how many people it's gone to, has actually gone up on Facebook over the past 2 months. And if we did that same type of thing with YouTube, and I know with Skype, there's like video conferences and things like that. And if we wanted to do something like, we could talk about the rumors and speculation, but keep it for the YouTube show. Or, you know, something similar. There's a StarCraft show that I always watch called State of the Game, and there's 7 people on that show. And it's a video feed with 7 webcams. And that way they still play off one another, and then they turn that into a podcast. They, like, get the audio from it and turn it into something else, you know?
It's actually kind of crazy how much better our chemistry has gotten in the last year, because I went back and listened to an old one, and we had so many awkward pauses.
Yep.
And be like, but yeah.
Well, and a lot of those pauses are because this is over Skype. It's really hard to interject and, like, start talking over Skype, absolutely. And like I said, I mean, we're already doing fairly well as it is. If in person, I think would just would be an unstoppable force.
Yeah, it'd be another level. It really,
or we'd be all distracted.
Yeah, I can't believe that voice is coming out of your mouth.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
No one understands the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Don't you ever touch a black man's radio.
But yeah, so and I'm thinking about doing, I don't know when Squarespace is going to put out their new kind of backend, Squarespace 6, which is going to be pretty neat. But whenever that happens, I'm probably going to do a redesign of some sort.
I would really like to be. Was it you that I talked about doing like a little side notes like
right? Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you weren't mentioning that. I could probably build that in now if I had the time, but. I'm really hoping Squarespace 6 will allow us to do some neat things, and also
what Grantland is even using,
and also have their editing be a little more streamlined and friendly, and like not adding random spaces after you insert an image and shit.
Yeah, that's stuff like that's really bizarre.
Yeah,
that's been my bane, but now I've been learning how to work around it.
Right. Yeah, you basically have to
plug in Squarespace into working properly.
It's not nearly as bad as Joomla was, man. Joomla was a fucking travesty.
Oh, man, American Parkour is still run on Joomla. It's a beast.
Joomla was so bad. But yeah, I think kind of the first order business is we can find a way to get fairly instant feedback. It may not even have to be a thumbs up like star system or anything like that. But if we could just find a comfortable way, you know, we may just have to think about it differently because Squarespace might not give us what we're looking for in that regard.
Right. And if we need to move away from Squarespace, that's fine. It's just, I think at the time for us, certainly that was the best option.
Oh, yeah. And for right now, honestly, it still is.
Cheapest too.
You know what I mean? It definitely still is. And before we'd make a jump to something more extensive, and which usually means more expensive, we would definitely find a way to at least compensate some of that cost.
Right. Well, and especially the whole podcast syndication thing, it's nice that it does, like, Squarespace does it directly through it when you make the post, but then it does have that 30-episode limit, which
is
like
weird.
Isn't the end of the world,
right?
Because we've got them all archived on the site. But let's say somebody is only using iTunes, then...
Yeah, they only get 30 episodes. They get the 30 most recent episodes, and they have to go to the site to be able to download the older ones. And it's just... I think we're all in agreement that the less amount that the viewer has to do, the better. Like, you don't have to log in. You don't have to even comment. You don't have to, you know, go through all these jumps and hoops and bells and whistles and...
Yeah.
You know, it's just very direct. Get the information, and then tell your friends to come get the information, and then they'll tell their friends to do it too.
And part of it is that the way we've got the site set up right now, a lot of our stuff, you know, you don't have to click through. And I don't know, maybe that has something to do with, you know, traffic or, I mean, a unique visitor is still a unique visitor. Mm-hmm. But, you know, quote unquote, more clicks would show up if, you know, we required the whole jump through thing. But then again, that was me going, I'm kind of sick of jumping through. Why not just let somebody look at it right there? There it is.
Right.
I'm pretty sure all my articles are jump through.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, certainly all the long ones. So, yeah.
See, that's, I think one of the problems is we all write best when we have no schedule to write on.
Yep. Yeah.
But when we have no schedule to write on, sometimes we go like 5 or 6 days without anything on.
Right. So yeah, it's a kind of 6-1, half dozen of the other. I mean, I don't want to, you know, nobody wants to be forced to write or have to put something out because then you just become Kotaku.
What I'm thinking is we should start trying to work on serials. Basically, big articles that are separated into 5 or 6 blocks and we release them bit by bit.
Yeah, like part
one. Not necessarily articles either, but like content in general, like the Trine 2 Let's Play. We could knock that out in a day or two and just release it every 3 days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's a good way to get content on there without necessarily cracking the whip at ourselves.
Right, right, yeah.
Once I got the recording box for my TV, the Hotbog box, I tried doing some Let's Plays, but it was just one person alone in a room and it was boring as hell.
Yeah.
Right, you need minimum 2 people.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you could have just one, and I, like, some of the awful ones succeed like that, but
well, like,
I find them kind of boring.
Like, Chip and Ironicus have, you know, made a thing out of them being them. You know, same with the two less best friends play. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I think it's I think the thing I'm most proud of so far is none of us on here have become a Howard Stern character. Because I love Two Best Friends Play. But once again, I think that shtick might run up within the year.
Well, there's always the danger of becoming a cartoon character.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, we're not a Howard Stern bit. You know, it's we have our own distinct personalities, yet it's not, we're not, you know, Yahtzee or whatever.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way, the more genuine, I think there's this weird balance between being genuine and being transparent. Like, them knowing, okay, is this really this person, or are they on the internet so they have to feel like they have to be something that they're really not? Right. That's
actually what killed Platformers Podcast. Yeah. Everyone, they wanted to stick to the basic characters.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, why don't we just talk about the video games? But Deacon right. was very insistent on it.
Yeah, like,
really?
Was he wanting to do exactly?
He wanted it set up so, like, Light Reaper is always going to have this British sensibility kind of guy, and I would be only be the one who chimes in, like, Wikipedia style.
Trying to force that is just going to ruin anything.
Yeah.
We already got enough of that with the fact that we play different games and like different stuff.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And you had all these different people trying to steer the ship, you know what I mean? And it just, it was a...
Well, nobody had experience in that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I think, like, I mean, since then, I've gone to journalism school. I know what I'm doing for at least writing articles.
Yeah.
So I know that, like, I'm not going to claim that suddenly I was the only sane one there. But we had so many people just trying to say, no, it should be this. No, we have to have it on this exact schedule. I'm like, we're not going to compete with Kotaku and all that. The best we can do is do what we do great.
Yes. Yeah.
And I'm more sure of that now than I was then.
Yeah, because all Kotaku does at this point is they have people constantly manning the feeds coming out of PR departments.
Yeah, exactly. And hell, that's what our Oblivion article was for our fifth anniversary thing. I literally got that email at work. And then I emailed them back and it was like, does anyone else know about this? Am I okay to post this on the internet? And they're like, yeah, do whatever. And I did. And that it destroyed our bandwidth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everybody fucking came to it. But that's exactly what it was. And then what I told Brian, I was like, imagine if that was a real story. Imagine if that was actually news and not a re-release of a five-year-old game.
Yeah.
You know, that's nuts. So I think that's kind of... You know, and that was really the time that we started hitting everything strong. And then the whole opinionated editorial came out, and all of us started doing it. I think Wallet Abuse fits that mold. I think, like, Imran's most recent deal fits that mold. I think, Matt, your new deal about just writing up the kind of the rumors and speculation, having your own spin on it, exactly. You know, hell, even...
Yeah, and then there's, well, then there's me.
I mean, hell, in a way.
Emu Farm Silent Hill game.
But even like...
Floppy drives playing music.
Even if you're not writing long-form stuff, man, you're the glue and the personality.
Yeah.
Like the Netflix. I mean, because they're seeing what your taste is. So it's still an editorial opinion, right? It's like, these are movies. You should watch them.
Yeah.
And so it fits that mold. And I think the more content like that we have up, the better. And the great thing is that's easy content.
Well, because you know what? The crazy thing is, like, there have been a bunch of times. Like, I can't even count on both my hands, just in the last like 4 months that I've, you know, done something or played something, and I was like, yeah, this is really cool. You know, just thinking to myself, really cool. And then the next day, Rock Paper Shotgun posted.
Yep.
And I'm like, fuck, why didn't I, like, these are the kind of things I should be posting. But I don't know, maybe I just don't feel like it. Like with Treasure Adventure Game, I was like, oh shit, GOG just released this, and yeah, this is really awesome. And then, you know, I was like, I don't know, I guess maybe it just didn't occur to me post. And then the next day, Rock, Paper, Shotgun posts about it and stuff.
Yeah, so. and it's hard.
I should just act on that more often.
I think I should too. And like, I have opinion pieces about, hell, since I've been staying up with Gracie, I've been watching the military channel, which is goofy because I have no interest in the fucking military. None. But I'm like, okay, this is basically real life StarCraft strategies. Like what these people are doing, like the Battle of Midway. It's like, that's a Zerg rush, man. What just happened?
Right.
So I could correlate it with something like that. But even, you know, and then I get in my head a little bit and I'm like, well, maybe no one wants to read that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I don't think that's my choice to make. You know, I think we should put up content regardless.
Maybe somebody is.
And then,
somebody is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, maybe I should just act on it more. And I just don't want it to become like spam. And I feel like if I had posted it would, but apparently not. So.
No, I was going to put a post about the Amazon PC deal, like how they
have
80% off.
Another a bulletin beard.
Here's what might be helpful is, like, if we find it interesting, our readers might find it interesting as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who would read our site?
Well, because like there was a point in time where I was posting, like, random designy stuff, like a fucking awesome derby, you know, Pinewood Derby car.
Right.
Sure.
I kind of fear at some point, like, I don't know that there's any good way to get around this, but that we don't really have a purpose, necessarily,
right.
Or we don't have a focus, I guess, and that people are only people who are going to be interested in reading a website without a focus are people who
know us. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was weird, because you said that, like, exact same time I did.
If we could I think we've all worried about that.
Mark, what was that?
What we need to do is figure out what it is we do best,
right?
Or what we do barely.
Well, and maybe we can, you know, do a reader poll or something somehow. I mean,
like, if we say pop culture, that includes a lot of stuff I don't think we cover, like celebrities and shit. Yeah.
Right, yeah, and any time I post about like music or you know a short film or something like that, it's usually pretty little known. It's not something big.
Yeah.
Like I mean, even the, like the Raid trailer, while it's getting a big release, you know, is this little you know kind of silhouette Indonesian guy doing martial arts movies? It's this guy's second movie.
Yeah, and
I would argue that geek culture stuff might be different than pop culture stuff.
But are we just strictly geek culture stuff? That's, I mean, yeah. I only write about video games because that's really all I do.
Right.
Right.
But, I mean, we have stuff about Netflix and things like that, which, I mean, great, don't get me wrong, but it tends to broaden our scope a bit.
Right.
Right. Well, and don't worry, I think my mentality, and I don't know, maybe it should change or has changed, has always been, like, you can, so many places have a quote-unquote lockdown on, you know, the news, the video game news.
Yeah.
Right, like, we can't
compare. You're not going to come to
news. Yeah, news, we're never going to be good at news.
You're not gonna, like, GameSpot is going away from news because they can't compete on news.
Exactly.
Oh, man, Wastelander Panda, I forgot about that.
But, like, okay, and, like, with Netflix, see, the way I see it is the Netflix insanity is perfect because now all video game consoles can do Netflix. So it's like, that's a feature that does one-to-one correlate back to gaming culture. But I think it's, in my opinion, and this is the way I've always thought about the podcast is something we do well, but it is marketing for the website. The podcast, the Beardcast, is an advertisement to come read what we have to say on Nitro Beard.
Yeah. I mean, there have been times that, like, I've wondered if we should just go to strictly podcasts,
right,
much in the way Idle Thumbs did.
Yeah.
Because I know they had tried, you know, kind of making posts about whatever shitty wizards for a while, but then they did it just podcasting, which in a lot of ways would make things easier, but I think we would probably suffer from it.
Yeah, I think so too. Because
but it's definitely something I've toiled with. But in the end, I don't know. I think we put up good content, so.
Just as long as it's solid all the way around. And I think the way we have it set up now is really good because none of the content is suffering on account of any other content. You know what I mean? It's not, well, we have such an arduous editorial thing that we're so exhausted we can't do the podcast every week. You know, it hasn't come to that point. Or vice versa, we didn't blow our load on the podcast, that way we don't have anything to write about anymore, you know?
Yeah.
But I think there's a nice balance, and I think we're really getting it the same way, like Imran said, that we're better now at podcasting together as a team than we were a year ago.
Yeah.
Very much.
But I'm still trying to get that, like, chemistry thing going with the Jumpcast, because I like, even just, I was listening to both Nitrobeard and Jumpcast today, and the way I talk is differently on both.
Right, yeah. And that's just the nature of the beast. I can tell you right there, I've been on like 10 podcasts. That's just how it goes. Is you will find a niche that you fit into, because instead of going from just, you know, all five of us are just kind of there, you know, in the weeds, as it were. But on the Jumpcast, it seems like you have to take the position of directing traffic. And that just, it's a different responsibility. It's not better or worse. It's just not, your cadence has to change. And yeah, it's a natural thing. And it comes together.
But I also think it's just mainly everyone's still getting, we've known each other for years, but still talking to each other is a difficult thing.
Right.
Well, also it's like getting to know what the person you're speaking to, what they'll react to, how you can push that person.
Yeah.
Like how you can prod that person, how that person will take jokes is different on the net, on like posting when you have like 5 minutes between posts, like to like get a cooler head, than it is here, where like the other person has to respond within like 5 seconds or everything feels weird.
Yeah. we're at a weird place. We're at a weird place to, okay, do we have enough of a following to be able to say, hey guys, we have a PayPal donation button? Or is it, we still need to work for another year to good morale, you know?
So the only way that I foresee us making money, I mean, sort of asking for donations, which I don't know. I
feel like once we do
never
that,
goes
we can't
over
go
well.
Back.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe we could sell some sort of product. I have no idea what that would be. I don't want it to be like a premium service, you know, something like that.
Okay, what I was thinking is I'm new at this, but I'm making perlers now.
You're making what?
Perlers. They're like...
Is that like a doily?
They're like sprite things that you make with beads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So I figured I would toss the Nitrobeard gaming images we have of like... all the characters with beards into my Perler program and start making those and selling them.
Right. I mean, or even just like, I mean, if we have a good idea, because I think a lot of us have some good ideas and they could even be Nitrobeard jokes that just kind of span outside of Nitrobeard, not necessarily a joke. And fuck, I don't know, sell a t-shirt made from it. But again, I don't know what kind of service, you know, we'd have to go through to do like t-shirts.
Clearly we need to come with a logo and then push it. Like a motherfucker. We need like a joke, and we need to like just push it to an obnoxious degree.
Right. We need
a shirt.
Nitrobeard symbol. Like,
that's I'm a wizard, and that's fucked up. We need that moment.
Polygon.
And I think that moment can be the Mass Effect 3 ending sucks.
Right. Something still about Doritos. Sucks. How about a T-shirt that just like it looks like you have a bag of Doritos under your arm?
Right. Or a T-shirt that
like
just
has FedEx envelope.
That has a right, beard, yeah. Like going all the way down the shirt. And then, like on the back, it says like "respect the beard." Like we have some like catchphrase.
Like this, but with a Doritos bag.
Well, I'll tell you, as someone who kind of came late to the party, I am not ever expecting to make any money off of Nitrobeard.
Yeah,
and like,
I work for the site, and I'm glad to continue working for it. But I figure, in terms of perspective, it's probably just portfolio building.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and that's kind of the way we had it from the very beginning. Is I know that was our initial talks with me, Brian, and Tyler. Is you're like, okay, we just want to do this because what the fuck, we want to do it, and right. We went at it that way. It's just now that,
and if it naturally becomes something else, then so be it.
Yeah, exactly. Then so be it. Which is why I think the kind of the PayPal donation thing is sort of faux pas, is because we don't want to ask for anything. You
know? Yeah, it's always been something that I just wouldn't want to do. Yeah.
One thing we may need to consider in the future, and I'm not saying now or that it's really even necessary, but a name change. Like, I understand that we all love Nitrobeard, and I think it's hilarious, but it's also not a very marketable name, I guess.
I got it. Orange Eye.
Yeah. Well, because see,
there's pretentious ass shit like Orange Eye and Polygon. I don't like that either.
Yeah.
But at least Polygon sounds like something related to games.
Right. But
how about Gavin Frommer?
Yeah, Gavin Frommer. I think.
But we're also not necessarily related to games, so it's...
Right. And that's the thing, is I remember during the big press thing during the Oblivion deal, is everyone talked about how aptly named we were. And they're like, with the creatively named Nitrobeard, with the awesomely named Nitrobeard, with the... Like, if you go back and read Eurogamer and Kotaku and stuff like that about Nitrobeard, they all mention something about our name.
Well, and I mean, what's your take on Giant Bomb as a name?
Right, exactly. Giant Bomb has nothing to do with games, but it's memorable. Like Google, what the fuck does Google mean? Like Google's not
right.
You know,
it's a made up word that sounds neat. I mean, like a lot. And then I guess Giant Bomb, you know, you could always do the Bob-omb relation and bombs and video games, Bomberman, but still.
We have the URL for it, and we're probably not going to get that with any other combination of words in the English language.
We very well might. I mean, you'd be surprised. Or we can just buy an XXX domain.
Yeah.
GameSpot.xxx.
Or I mean, the same thing like Rock, Paper, Shotgun. Like, it's creative enough that, you know, sure, it's a game. Rock, Paper, Scissors is a game. Right. But,
and you're going to remember it. I mean, yeah.
Also, Game Snob is already taken.
Right. I mean, but with like Nitro.
Like, GameStop and GameSpot. I mean,
yeah, it'll be an issue. Yeah.
Yeah, people have.
I always find weird things about, like, you know, I think it's a gamer shell, and I read that URL.
Gamer's hell.
Yeah, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. They're like, gamer's
shell. That's what I thought it was. It's supposed to be gamer shell?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised how many people think we're Nitro Bread.
Which is even better.
I think the big upside to a name like Nitro Beard, though, is that they're both words that are easily spellable.
Yeah.
If you hear it out loud, you can get there.
You know it exactly. And
but it's still distinctive enough that you can Google it.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I certainly wouldn't push it out if we have a good enough separate name, if it's something we absolutely need to do.
But I think if we stick with Nitro Beard, we're going to have to start contacting those other Nitro Beards or Beard Casts.
Yeah, that might be the actual issue. The Beard Cast is the actual issue. That might be something we need to change.
Let me pop open an incognito window and do a search for it.
Yeah, and so something that I think would be...
Maybe NitroCast would work? Because, well, there is a...
There is BeardCast.com and the BeardCast.
There's a lot of BeardCasts in the world, unfortunately. Yeah.
Something we could do, and like Brian, you said that we could actually make this a pretty big deal. We can, because you know me, I love hype. I love to hype shit.
Yeah, you do. Good reason.
I love it. I love the whole.
What do you call the deck or like the?
Yeah, the deck. The decks. After you have your header and then you have your deck, and then the deck is.
What would those pesky reapers do?
Yeah, that type of stuff. That like I love. I love hype, so if we were literally planning on looking, if Squarespace 6 makes it easier to do a full revamp with different templates, we can do a Nitro Beard relaunch. We can keep the name.
Change the name of the podcast.
Change the name of the podcast. Yeah. We could also introduce Imran's new podcast at the time.
Yeah.
We could literally make this 2.0. You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Right. Yeah.
I love it because, you know, and I was on a big WrestleMania kick because they hyped that shit like something I've never seen before. there was people that can't even, like, they didn't have eyeballs and they knew what WrestleMania was. You know, they knew it was Rock versus John Cena. And they hyped it on everything, man. They had it on billboards. They had it on, like, rugs outside of McDonald's. Like, oh my God, they had that hype everywhere. And because of it, they made something like $3 billion at the gate. At the gate to get in, they made $3 billion. What? Yeah. Like, are you kidding?
That's three Instagrams.
Yeah. That's outrageous.
So if you take a look for a Nitro Cast, I think we get a lot better. There is one other Nitro Cast.
Yeah, I was just looking at that.
Nitro Dungeon.
Because here's
the podcast thing. Podcast RGB the Tito Nitro.
We will be the only English Nitro Cast.
No, but you're right. I mean, we're the only Nitro Beard, but... I'm totally open to that. I mean, by all means, start thinking of some names, and we can start tossing some ideas around. The Beard Pod.
Yeah, and I mean, what we can do is, because the Beard Cast, and I think we can sell it like this, too. If we're going to make different shows, if we're going to focus a little bit more on editorial, if we're going to do more kind of live stream events, things like that, we can make the podcast, the Beard Cast, or whatever we're going to call it, kind of the, you know how Giant Bomb has Happy Hour? How they have their kind of, okay, let's get everybody from everywhere, and then we just come and chill out for an hour. Like, it can turn into that, right? Like, where everybody on Nitro Beard comes together to hang out. It's basically our weekly barbecue, you know, that we have, and we could talk about anything. Sky's the limit. So it wouldn't change the podcast too much, but it would change the perception of what the podcast is. And I think that's the key. If we hype up a relaunch, we do a big, we do a big template swap. We do, but we keep things that make Nitro Beard, like a featured beard. We have to keep it because it's awesome.
Yeah.
So, damn it! Apparently, GAM Radio exists.
Is it all about legs?
All legs, all the time.
And what I want to do?
Did you mean ham radio?
Who was complaining about the spelling?
Oh God, yeah, that girl on Twitter was like, "I'm sorry, it had to be said. It's anime, not animes." Oh, that was so good.
Wasn't someone like that? You know,
I no, it was a random person who must have searched Twitter for anime or something. That's awesome. I don't know.
And of course, you wrote out animes in the post.
Yeah.
And the post probably spelled BOAST.
Podcast.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know. Something might be said to relooking on how we handle the Twitter account. I mean, I don't know. I've asked before our followers, you know, how they feel about me posting, you know, stuff that Brian is interested in, and along with the regular Nitro Beard stuff. So I don't know. I mean, that might be one of the things that people likes or that people like. It might be something that, you know, is scaring people off. I don't know.
Well, do you have a Twitter account that's not Nitrobeard?
I do not. I was morally opposed to Twitter for the longest fucking time.
Until like
I used to be like six times a day.
Yeah.
I was opposed to it for the longest fucking time. And but then at the time it was just kind of set up as an aggregator. And I was like, well, if we want to spread it, it can't just be an aggregator. It has to be actually something that, you know, is personable, that is actually used to connect with people. And so I decided just to kind of take it on.
Yeah. I think it works. I think it totally works, because hell, we wouldn't have gotten all the comments from all these other people in the industry without it. And I think if we really want to do a full relaunch, we can change the perception of what the site stands for. Because I think, Imran, you're right that we don't have a clear sense of direction, but we can actually use that to our advantage. We can use that.
Well, I think if we do that, one of the things we're going to need to do is we need to change the name of this podcast to something more about games. Because I don't know if we've decided that this is going to be a gaming podcast or us just fucking around talking. And either way is fine with me. Yeah. But I think we need to decide which one it's going to be.
Well,
it needs to be gaming, I think.
Right. Well, I mean, it's certainly more focused on games, but of course we always have go off on tangents, and I think that's one of the things that people probably like about it.
I mean, now that we're going to have more podcasts, we need to make it clear that, you know, this is something. That if we have a manga podcast and a blank podcast, we need something to fill in that blank at some point.
Right, right.
If we're just calling it the Beardcast, we're saying it's the podcast for Nitro Beard.
Yes.
Which doesn't work if we have multiple podcasts.
Well, let's talk about, we have gaming, but what about gaming culture? Is that separate from gaming? Are we just talking about games? Or are we talking about gaming like as a larger...
That might be what's going to be the other one.
Do you guys really feel like you're part of gaming culture? Or do you feel like it's this sort of exaggerated, over-the-top version of stuff you like?
I
feel like I play video games, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, exactly. I think gaming culture is another way. I think someone posted on Plat that, you know, just a bunch of yuppie kids, like, with a furry thing. Like, they created that to feel isolated. Like,
I know people who have, like the cake is a lie t-shirts, and that's all they wear all the time.
Yeah.
I think as a culture, we feel, like, insecure about, like, We see how successful like comic culture is, and comic culture is basically pop culture right now.
Yeah,
and we want to see, well, why aren't we as successful as that? So we tend to like adopt the silliest things and like rally around it, and it's there. Gaming culture is there. It's like in stupid infantile stages right now, but it's there.
I think gaming culture is born mostly of defensiveness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is what I love. Insecurity. Suck on it, society. Right. Like, I have a Zelda decal, like a Triforce decal on my car. I don't have it there because I want people to know I play Zelda. I have it there because woo, Triforce on my car. That's neat.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and I know you guys were saying about gaming being kind of an infantile statism, but then again, I mean, look, I just went to, you know, Video Games Live that had the freaking the National Symphonic Orchestra playing video game music there, and there's a 6,000 square foot exhibit at the Smithsonian with video games art, which is kind of merging the two, which is, you know, so
yeah.
See, that's the thing, like video game orchestra and symphonies and stuff like that. That's actually what's getting me to be a little eyebrow raisy about gaming culture, because I remember seeing pictures of people at the Zelda Symphony, and it's still a symphony. There's actual professionals playing there.
Right.
You don't go there dressed in, like, you know, a gaming t-shirt.
Right. Yeah, well, it's exactly right. Like, I went there, and we were sitting down, and just after they finished up, I saw some guy walking and leaving, and he was wearing a Video Games Live t-shirt. And I was just like, don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Don't be that guy that goes to the, you know, the Godsmack concert and the Godsmack t-shirt.
You know, when I went to Video Games Live, I didn't know it would be so kind of like modern music. I thought it would be mostly symphonic. So I went in slacks and a button-down shirt.
Right.
I thought I would have to be dressed for a symphony.
For the venue.
You dress for a symphony. That's where you're supposed
represent
to go.
Well.
Yeah, it wasn't like that, though. It was more like a modern rock concert.
So they had a costume contest at the Video Games Live that I was at, and they had like a bunch of people, of course, people dressed as, you know, Zelda and Link, someone dressed as a Pokemon, someone dressed as a quote-unquote aperture scientist. He was just wearing a lab coat. But then after that, I was at the intermission. I walked aside, and there was a guy dressed as Aladdin, And he won. I think I even posted that up on Twitter. That guy should have been in the contest. He would have won.
I'm sure he'd be Aladdin for the Genesis.
Exactly.
Totally should have won.
Yeah, exactly. He was that Aladdin.
Personal opinion, I think we could keep the beard cast just goofing around, and even we could use it once we start getting more than like 3 or 4 podcasts, if we get to that point, is we can use the beard cast as, all right, be sure to check out on this week, on this show, we have this, kind of like a check-in podcast, and then we just chill out for the rest of the time. That way, the gaming podcast could talk about everything gaming culture, you know, what games we've been playing, stuff like that. And if that does come up in the beard cast, sure. But we could have it dedicated talking on, you know, or hell, we could use the beard cast as the question and answer with the fans.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, that's what
that. I mean, it could be the, as Imran was saying, the happy hour.
Right.
Or who was saying, what was
or, it? Yeah, it's basically, just a happy hour. Like, it's our weekly barbecue.
Yeah.
This is what I understand, like, the site Brian just linked. Yeah. How does this guy that I've never heard of get people like the editor-in-chief of Kotaku on his podcast? Do they just ask?
Yeah, that's what I'm about to wonder. Is like, we've never really asked for any of this either.
Yeah.
The problem is, like, and that goes back to the Jeff Green thing. Like, I think we can just go for it and see what happens.
But, I mean, part of the problem is, do people just see the name Beardcast and then, you know, because Brainy Gamer tends to give off a different term.
Right, you know exactly what it's about. Right, yeah. So, that's true. But anyways, I linked this because if you listen to the latest episode, he starts off like he was on a hiatus talking about what he wants to do with his podcast or whatever, about how, you know, most gaming podcasts are, you know, the same, you know, they have the What You've Been Playing segment, et cetera, et cetera. And I didn't actually get to listen to his whole anecdote about what he was going to do because I had to leave work or I got interrupted or something. But it might be something worth listening to. It might give us some ideas. But I don't know.
So. And we'll steal those ideas.
We'll steal those ideas. Right. We will be the heady gamers. Shit.
That's Headley.
Right, that's Headley.
Intelligent gamers.
Probably intelligent gamers, yeah.
Smart
gamers. Like, if we were older, I would have suggested gray-haired gamers, but...
Yeah, that'd be pretty good. Ashy gamer. No, that's just...
We need lotion.
Does JD? I think JD Gamers exist, doesn't it?
JD probably. Gamers exist, yes.
Well, we can toss around some ideas.
Of course, I don't want to be jaded, because it's not a good...
And because
I've kind of gotten past that point in my life where I'm able to just foster up a sense of being jaded at will.
Right.
You know, I have to the time not seeing positive things. You know?
We know who's evil and we can call that out, but otherwise we mostly just enjoy it.
Active thumbs.
There used to be a site called Games Are Fun.
I remember Games Are Fun.
I did too.
I was searching for them, but I can't find them anymore.
Digigames Live.
Yeah, I literally got to the point where I realized being like a jaded cynic is not actually
fun. You know,
yeah, not fun and not really something you should look up to. Not an admirable goal in life, because it turns out jaded cynics are really not cool to hang out with.
Nope.
You know, I couldn't put my finger on it until I actually read it in a Cracked article, but they pointed out the whole problem with being jaded and why you're not an intelligent adult when you're jaded is that it takes just as much effort to assume everything's bad as it does to assume everything's good.
It's true.
That's basically the smile analogy, or smile saying. It takes more effort to frown than it does to smile.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's always been my mentality. I mean, I always just try to be positive. And when I see people, like, you know, ripping out some games and like, oh, I'm so glad this game failed. And I'm like, fucking why?
Yeah.
Why would you ever wish that upon anyone? Did they personally assault you?
Right.
Okay. Now, EA, $60 PC games, sure, whatever. Go to hell. But, you know, but there are other things, you know, where people are bitching about. And it's like, I mean, it's to your benefit that the entire gaming industry succeeds and does well.
My favorite guy is this guy on Gaff now that he personally hates Exceed because they're releasing too many other games as digital distribution only.
Yeah.
And just every post of his is a laugh riot.
Well, see, it's great because I see things like that. People say things like that. And then I see those same people laughing at iPhone users getting mad that Android got Instagram. And it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's all the same shit. Like, yeah, the type of console war thing is going to – that's going to go on forever. It may not even be in video games. But, like, what? Do you like Ford or Chevy? Like, do you like Pepsi or Coca-Cola? Like,
are you a Mopar man?
Yeah, everyone's going to be split into a different camp.
Werther's Originals or...
yeah. Or Jolly Ranchers.
Yeah.
Well, Werther's Originals, of course, you fucking asshole.
when you're that old, it's Werther's Originals or Luden's Cough Drops.
Oh, yeah. Man, Luden's Cough Drops.
Ricola!
Luden's right now.
The Cough Drops, that's just a candy.
At some point, we need to talk about, like, you know, where this site is going and where we're going to take it. Because I feel like we're slowly improving on everything. We're getting more hits. We're getting better content. It's just a question of how much faster do we need to go, if faster at all.
Yeah, gotta go fast.
That's true. Yeah,
you're like, too slow.
Because I think there will be one of those days where, like, okay, are we really going to do this? And then we all agree. And then from that day forward, the whole site is going to take a different direction. And that it's kind of one of those really weird responsibility things.
Oh,
because it's okay, because this happens in, I remember there was a GFW radio episode where they were talking about, okay, there's a lot of times you'll get emails from publishers saying, I can't believe you got us a bad game or a bad review for a game. We want to pull all of our coverage. And the reason why I'm going with this for Nitrobeard is because if we're like, okay, now we're working towards a profit, is that's going to change our voice. You know, that's going to...
No way, man. We'll never sell out. Fuck those guys. But it's like, go to hell. But your game sucks. Your next game sucks, too.
But see, even with that mentality, like even what Imran said, being on two different podcasts changes a perception. Like, on one podcast, I'm this way. On one podcast, I'm this way. And it's not because you're doing anything different. It's just the way it is. So it's like, once we would make that turn to be like, okay, do we want funding? Do we want a site revamp? Do we want this? Do we want this? It's going to naturally change the progression. But I think the key is to figure out what we're good at right now, what we're going to get better at in the future, what our plans are for the future, and sticking with it. That way, we always have kind of that litmus test to, okay, how far off the mark are we? You know, it's a...
I think one of the things we do well that's kind of unique to us is that we are kind of anti-sensational.
Yeah.
You know, yes. So even when we don't like something, we tend not... I don't think we would necessarily have people mad at us if we did start reviewing things legitimately.
Right.
I don't think people would be so mad at us as long as we're very fair about what we're saying.
Yeah. And that's journalism. I mean, and that's where the difference is. A lot of these people, oh, well, this game journalism site, and there's not a lot of journalism happening. Like, there's rarely any journalism happening. The only recent event that I can think of that was actually journalism was whenever the whole Infinity Ward thing happened.
And that was Patrick Klepek.
Yeah, that was one guy And that was it. That was the only gaming journalism I've seen in the past, I don't know, 10 years. You know?
Well, I actually tried to contact Consumerist about that story, but they have such a weird policy. Like, you have to email them and ask for an interview, and then they might grant you one.
Right. Yeah, you're on a...
Like, you can't just, like, you know, there's no number to call.
Yeah. It's bizarre. They have a big PR, like, a big hurdle you have to jump over. But yeah, I agree with Matt in the fact that I think we stick fairly solid to not a lot changes our mind. You know what I mean? I mean, it's not necessarily stubbornness, but if we go into a game, hey, I like the Tales of series, so I bought Tales of Vesperia, and guess what? This is a very Tales-like game. I dig it, but here are the problems with it. And we can realistically do that instead of... I remember when Grand Theft Auto 4 came out, people would use the dumbest hyperbole. I regret ever being alive before this game came out. What the fuck? What? Like, I there's not words in the English language. I would just have to make noises for my review. And then, like, 10 out of 11. You know, it's ridiculous. And you're like, this isn't... What is this? This has no merit. This.
You know who we should try to contact? That guy who's been writing all those Forbes articles.
Which one's the...
why game journalism is broken... guy.
Oh yeah, or
the guy who strangely made Forbes relevant to like gaming culture.
And like every game journalist hates him.
So I like kind of going somewhere and writing something positive.
Right. Yeah. You know? Good man.
Totally. It's free reign. I mean, that's literally why I was here. I think the reason why Brian and I and Tyler made the site is so we could give a voice to people that had more opinions than we did. I know that's the way I looked at it. It's like we have this skill set to make an avenue to where smart people can get their opinions across. And that's why, you know, that's why we brought on people. I mean, if it was...
But I was saying maybe that Forbes guy would be interested in a sideburn because so many people are so angry at him. Oh, I don't know off the top of my head.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, you're right.
But I'm not angry. I want to collect all of his articles and read them, but I think he's got some pretty decent points from what I read, and I'd love to pick that guy's brain.
Yeah, but cool. It's nice to see somebody like taking the concept of the gaming industry seriously as like they take the music industry or something, instead of just treating it as like some kind of skeevy PR stunt.
Yeah.
I mean, like, this is all kind of stuff aside from Cyburn. I want to talk to people like this on the new podcast too, because I'm sure they have like stories they want to tell about why they got into this and stuff like that.
Oh, sure.
I was thinking like stuff like talking to professional cosplayers, not necessarily interviewing them, just whatever they want to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think
my favorite new This American Life story is about a woman who she went to school and did not know about World War II. She was in college. She finished college and she found out about it.
Wow.
And she was like 20, so it was kind of ridiculous, and she was an improv artist, so whenever someone said something about Hitler, she just had to make something up.
Oh, God.
So, like, I want stories like that, but I want to... The hard part is trying to keep it to geek interests, I suppose.
Yeah.
And it's, I don't know how to expand or contract this to make it work.
Well, I think if you keep the topic fairly geeky, that's fine, because the thing is, and the appeal of radio entirely... or any multimedia, is just people on a people level. So I think that's the appeal. I think the show would work best, yeah, like you said. It is kind of tricky to keep it geek-oriented, but if it doesn't stay geek-oriented, who really cares? That's why I've never been strict about the Beardcast, about, well, we have to have this segment, and then we go into break, and then this segment, and then you come in first, and then it's like, who cares? Nothing's going to make sense that way. You know, sure, we'll have a show, but is it a show anyone will listen to? So I think if you bring them in, kind of, I think this is what the sideburned idea was. We bring in someone to mention what they have to do with video games. Okay, why are you on a video game podcast? Here's your Kickstarter. Here's your Minecraft textures. Here's this. Now tell me about what your favorite cupcake is.
Right.
You know, it's like,
what was your, what was your favorite movies as a kid? What's your ringtone? Right. I don't know. I mean, yeah. That ringtone, I don't know why that ringtone question. I just feel like it's such a thing that people do that's like very personal. Like you said, your Triforce sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like I make my ringtone, you know, the Guile theme because fuck, I get to listen to the Guile theme when someone calls me.
Mine's the Saint Rose music, and like I know when my parents are around and that plays, they think it's something different. They think it's just like
right. You
know, some hardcore rap thing.
Right.
But nobody but me knows that it's from a video game.
Yeah, I mean it's very very. Personal kind of, I want to say selfish thing, but I know when you put that on your phone too, secretly you're hoping that someone else will pick up on it when you're out in public.
Right.
Everyone does.
Oh, yeah.
And so I don't know. I just feel like that question kind of encompasses a lot of the direction of that.
For me, I've set up individual ringtones for my friends based on the games they like.
Yeah.
So like for Kurt of the Castlevania Dungeon and now Hardcore Gaming, I have Bloody Tears as his ringtone.
Nice.
Yeah. But nice. For my wife, it's the sailing theme from Wind Waker.
Cool. Awesome. Nice. Yeah, like my friend Sam, who, you know, I started doing parkour with, and he's like a really big Batman freak. So I've got the original, like, Adam West Batman theme song as his ringtone. So anytime he calls, it goes...
Amazing.
Yeah.
The problem I was thinking about future charity events is that we need partners. Most of the people who came for the Sonic Stream were from TSSC, and I'm not sure that most of the donations, I think most of them came from our side, but
Yeah. Right. The
problem I couldn't find with future donations is I was thinking, okay, I know people at Xseed, I know people at Axis, we could maybe talk to them,
Yeah. But
who really wants to have their entire game played and laughed at? And that's the problem. Like, we'd have to go with websites.
Well, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. I mean, of course, Sonic 2K6 lends itself to that. But, like, the Half-Life group math, I mean, yes, you'll be joking around with the people, but you're not necessarily poking fun at the game. And I think that works really well.
Well, you can also find
the main problem is played
right.
For an audience.
Yeah.
Well, you can also find, like, sites that work on the same level as the Sonic Super Sonic Zone, or whatever the hell are they... whatever that fucking name is, and you know, just fan sites like that. You know, of course, you're not going to go to Atlas and make fun of their game and expect them to pay attention to you. But you know, there was a built-in audience with the Sonic stuff.
Right.
I don't think we want to like hit those guys again. But you know, other sites.
We can.
Like
there's
that.
Pretty much nothing to do.
Yeah.
We Sonic games at worst, but nothing's going to have the same gravitas. It's the same situation Giant Bomb is running into with their endurance runs. Nothing is going to be as good as Deadly Premonition. Literally nothing.
Yeah, that's true.
It was just the perfect game to endurance run and the perfect settings to do it.
So what other sites are like there that are like insanely dedicated to this one kind of iffy franchise? I don't know if there's like a Silent Hill like sort of like organization, something like that.
There's like Nova Crystallis, which is Final Fantasy games, but
yeah.
And we can even we can take the idea and then move it a little bit to one side or another where we don't necessarily make fun of the game, but then it could be one of those things to where people watch to make fun of us. and how bad we are at something. Like we could,
but like Sarxist, you know, falling off ladders all the time.
Like we could, yeah, or we could easily, you know, like if we wanted to do like a StarCraft as an example, I know for a fact the StarCraft community comes out in droves, and like they did a, we did those advertisements for that Rumble and the Bronze thing like a year or so ago. And it was just all people that have played maybe five matches of StarCraft. And then they got two pro announcers to announce it to make the game seem more exciting. But it was hilarious because he's like, oh, he's still clicking on the same thing that he – yep, he – nope, he's – yeah, he's not really doing anything now. Like, but it was hours of that to where people in the commentary were donating like, these guys are fucking awful and this is hilarious. So they weren't laughing at the game, but it was still a fun event.
Right. You know, well, and the handicap idea especially works really well. Like the, you know, the $25 to delay someone or whatever. And I know with like, you know, the Half-Life grid math I've contemplated, especially since I'm hoping to be able to have like a live video stream of the room and just have a bunch of people in there. You know, like if you donate $35, Brian has to hold a handstand for a minute before playing again.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, just random. Just
random shit like that.
Well, hey, it can work with like fighting games where just like we can get to like, because there's a lot of different fighting game communities. You get to like a really awful fighting game and just offer to like hold a tournament with that online.
And balls. Just, you know,
and do we could make actual like promo videos of like butt rock, like bum 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 bum, and like with fire in the background and being like Jackie Chan's Fist of Fury. You're like, oh fuck, this game's terrible.
And you know, the handicap would be, you have to pick like whatever, like horrible handicaps would be for fighting games, like bad characters or whatever.
Yeah,
like perverse controls.
Like, or you play a Mugen game.
Yeah,
just like horrible.
Any number of them, yeah.
So do you think we can get to a point where all of us can have some familiarity with recording and editing video?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm there. I mean, I'm perfectly fine with editing whatever and, you know, capturing my own footage. I, you know, captured all
you
my
and,
own.
You and me are there, Brian. I think Wes is there too.
I haven't done it in a while, but yeah, I could easily pop up in Vegas and figure out some stuff again.
Matt, how are you with editing video?
I'm okay with it.
Mark, do we need to teach you, or do you know?
I know literally nothing about it, but I'm willing to learn.
Okay, because I feel like if we can do that, we can start getting a lot more video content in general.
And video content is good.
Like, it's something we can do within a day. Not teach, really, but like just put in video content, and that can go faster than just having to come up with a long article.
Right.
Yeah, which is true. I mean, because then you're mixing... It's basically a podcast to where you have video footage going on during it.
Threw this out in like Flat a few months ago, but he had like a guy in his mid to late 30s who was never actually exposed to the NES, playing NES games for the very first time and putting that online and just
That's
his
awesome.
Reactions to that.
Yeah. Because see, I would love to do, there's a whole bunch of like fairly old school games that I love that not a lot of people talk about. And I think reviews would be cool if they were retro reviews. Like, I would love to play Breath of Fire 3 for an hour and talk about why this game's so fucking rad. You know what I mean? And I'd love to do that. And it'd be easy to do.
The virtual audio cable thing that Blaze taught me how to do during the Sonic stream. Mm-hmm. I was thinking about doing that for our New Year's Resolution games.
Oh, yeah.
So I could actually record myself play. Like, I wouldn't show the whole thing. But things that were particularly funny, I would edit together and put on there.
That would be awesome. See, what we like for my Leisure Suit Larry, it could be the first 20 minutes, and I'm like, oh, fuck my life. Like, this is terrible.
Or we could find a way to do it like we did with the Sonic stream, where all of us get together and we watch a stream of it happening.
Of that particular person playing it. We have a
right, and the MST3K or whatever.
Yeah. That, I'd be down for that. I mean, that'd be a good way to do it. That way we could still get our practice in for doing live podcasts and live video. That way whenever charity events do come around, we have it finely tuned to where...
I still think we should... go ahead, sorry.
Or I was about to say, because the weird thing about video, and this is what always is very intimidating about it, is you can set it up just fine. And you can do exactly what you did the time before just fine. But then for some reason it won't work. And it's like, all right, fuck, what's going on? And it takes forever to troubleshoot. Like,
yeah, sometimes it does.
You know, and the whole rendering thing and stuff like that. But
what weird setting did I happen to put here? And it happened to be something in the preview setting.
Exactly.
And not the rendering setting.
Right, exactly. Or it's like, oh, well, this past one I did XVID, but now I'm doing .h264 or whatever.
Right, which is what you probably should be doing.
Yeah, and, you know, and it's like, okay, well, now the file size is 10 times bigger than I thought, and I'm running out of hard drive space. Mm-hmm. It just random stuff that comes up as you're doing it that can cause a mini panic. But yeah, like that's why, you know, with podcasts being so easy to do, the closer we can get our video to being just a podcast with images, the better. You know what I mean? Like, just take all the fear out of it. Take all the, well, we have to prep this and do this little video package to go into an intro, and then, you know, we could get to that point one day, but I think the closer we keep it to just like the quick looks. Quick looks are perfect because, hey, they're talking about one video game while they're playing that video game, and then they're done. That's it.
Are we in danger of going over capacity on TinyPic? Because I upload a lot of pictures a week.
TinyPic? What?
Yeah. The, you know how we use them for our image hosting?
Have you been doing that?
I have been, yes. Are we not supposed to still?
Holy shit. I didn't even realize that. No, Squarespace, we have unlimited hosting on Squarespace. Oh, I mean, like, yeah. I made you a folder and their, you know, their post folders. Did you not read the memo?
Yeah,
I have the email saying use TinyPic, and that's what I've been using.
That was back from WordPress.
Huh. Hey, Brian, I've been using the folders.
Hey, I know you have. Thank you, Mark. You've been doing so well. I'm so proud of how far you've come.
Thank you.
All right, then in the future I will use the folders.
Yeah, no, yeah. There's a post images folder, and then year, and then month.
Let me ask you something. On that, it's usually. Of course, it's easier for me just like copy and paste the URL of like whatever image or like source I'm using.
Uh-huh.
Is it like still hosted for myself, or do I have to upload it physically from like my hard drive onto the folder in order to get us to host it?
You have to actually save it and then upload it. I don't think Squarespace has like an upload from URL thing.
Okay.
Pretty sure. Let me double check. Insert image. I mean, you can put a direct URL there, but yeah, that doesn't actually upload it.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that because it's kind of like random when a imager will decide not to work.
Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, Mark. I didn't even realize that you were still using TinyPic for things.
No, I mean, it's just through the general new post thing now, isn't it?
The what?
When you make a new post, you can just upload the images to there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just when you're editing the post and making it...
What are you using to edit with? Because I'm using the What You Get editor.
Right.
Yeah, I do that, and I switch to HTML for the summary.
So to grab the summary. Yeah. I have no idea why it works that way. It's...
Really? I just use the summary off the WYSIWYG editor. Weird.
I feel like I'm doing this the hard way.
What was that?
I've tried to do that, and it just it doesn't show up unless I put it in HTML.
No, yeah, same. It's in here. Yeah.
Weird. I'm writing everything in Google Docs, then bringing it down into Dreamweaver, formatting the HTML, and pasting the raw HTML.
Nice.
I run everything in just Microsoft Word, post every or paste it, then add the pictures, change it to HTML.
Yeah, you might get some weird formatting issues, but you shouldn't. I don't. But yeah, so yeah, but yeah, if you're just editing the post in the WYSIWYG, you just click insert image, upload an image, choose the file, pick where it needs to go. Everyone has their own personal folder if they have like a recurring thing. So like Netflix Instantity, I have in my folder. You know, so for like Matt, you know, if you wanted a folder for This Week in News, I could always make it in there. But otherwise, you just use post images, then the year and the month. And of course, just try to name it so it's somewhat descriptive of the file. Yep. So,
yeah.
No more tiny pick.
All right. I upload all the jump cast images and all the various cropped images I put for articles.
In there. So to answer your question, no, we're not in danger of going over on our tiny pick account.
Well, good.
And definitely not on, because yeah, like I said, Squarespace just rehashed a bunch of their account stuff. So, but we now have, it's basically the same thing we have but cheaper. Unlimited storage, unlimited bandwidth, unlimited editor accounts, member accounts. So. Yep.
This week in how the sausage is made.
Delish.
How it's made deliciously.